There are many facets or nuances of prayer that we need to integrate into our prayer life. Biblical prayer involves a whole host of things. It's not simply asking and receiving.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We've seen the adversary, verses 10 to 12. We've looked at the armor, and we'll finish that up, verses 13 to 17. And then we'll look at the animation of the spiritual warrior described for us there in verses 18 to 20. The fifth piece of armor that Paul says we will need, and we've already looked at the previous four in our previous discussions and messages. The fifth piece of armor that we will need is the helmet of salvation, Paul says in verse 17. He says, and take the helmet of salvation. And we will need the helmet of salvation because Satan attacks the mind, and it's the helmet that protects the mind. So we have one, the helmet of salvation, and then the final piece is what Paul calls there in verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we need the sword of the Spirit because Satan brings temptation. And it is that sword, the development of skill in wielding that sword, which gives us the capacity to conquer temptation. And we need that sword because Satan blinds the lost. And it's the penetrating Word of God, the powerful message of Scripture contained in the gospel, which gives us the capacity to penetrate that blindness and bring a man to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God puts His sword into our hands, so that you and I may learn to use it both in resisting Satan's temptations, just like Jesus did. You remember there in Matthew, the fourth chapter? God puts His sword into our hands so that we may use it both in resisting Satan's temptations and also not only in resisting temptation, but also in engaging in evangelism. We need the Word of God in both of those contexts, resisting temptation and engaging in evangelism. Every Christian evangelist, whether it's pulpit evangelism or personal evangelism, every Christian evangelist knows the power of God's Word. So in order, Paul says, to be effective in using this spiritual sword in conquering Satan and converting sinners, we must have a deepening loyalty to God's Word. I wonder how many of us do. We must have a deepening loyalty to God's Word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We use it in conquering Satan's temptations. We use it in converting sinners to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Are we becoming efficient in the utilization of that sword? Can we wield that sword effectively for Christ's glory? We will need a deepening loyalty to God's Word and an ever-expanding knowledge of that Word and application of its principles in our daily lives. It's a unique sword, the Word of God. The material sword pierces the body. The spiritual sword pierces the heart. The material sword becomes duller with increased use. The spiritual sword becomes sharper with increased use. The material sword wounds to hurt and to kill. The spiritual sword wounds to heal and to give life. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, do you have a deepening loyalty to it? A deepening and expanding knowledge of it and a practical application of that Word daily in your life? As you do that, you develop efficiency at wielding that sword in the spiritual conflict. Paul says, here are the six pieces of the armor, which together make up God's whole armor for the Christian. There is the girdle of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. There are the gospel boots and the faith shield. There are salvation's helmet and the Spirit's sword. And Paul says they are God's armor shared with us, but it is our responsibility to take it up, put it on, and to use it confidently against the powers of evil. To understand what he meant by those phrases, we've sought to expand them a little bit for you. And then by the grace of God, apply those implications in our lives so that we have victory in the conflict. And we're urged by the Apostle Paul to avail ourselves of every item of equipment, to omit nothing, to avail ourselves of every item of equipment. Our enemies are on every side, and so must be our armor on the right hand and on the left. So to this point in Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20, Paul has said two basic things. One, we have an adversary, verses 10 to 12. And he says, two, we have an armor. And that armor is triumphantly adequate to give us all the resources that we need to withstand the influence of the evil one. But finally, he says, I want you to see the animation of the spiritual warrior. And he gives that to us in verses 18 to 20, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And as you're praying for all saints, he says, and for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul changes the theme for just a moment, and he talks about that which animates. We've seen what equips the Christian warrior. Now he talks about that which animates him. That which animates and gives vitality to the Christian warrior is his intimate communion with God in prayer. I wonder how efficient and active we are in this facet of our Christian life. Paul says that which animates us is the breath of God conveyed to us in this intimate communion that we call prayer. It's that which pervades all of our spiritual living and all of our spiritual life and all of our spiritual warfare. And there are many things that we could say about prayer from these three verses, but as I look at them, there are two basic ideas that I want to share with you under this theme of the animation of the spiritual warrior. Number one, I see here a special characterization of prayer. That's verse 18. And then number two, I see a specific invitation for prayer. That's verses 19 and 20. Paul says, more specifically, I want you to pray for me. And there are a couple of points that are of interest there. Number one, he speaks of a special characterization of prayer. And that's in verse 18. And actually, Paul says six things there. Let me give you the outline. Paul says that we must pray in a sixfold way. And they unfold for us right there in verse 18. Paul says, do you want a breath of divine power? Do you want a spirit of animation and vitality to characterize your Christian life and your Christian warfare? Do you want that supply line in battle which will enable you to conquer the evil one? Then you must learn to pray. You must develop this discipline of prayer in your life. It can be a very convicting thing to modern Christians. It's one of those precious commodities that we have a way of letting slip away from us. There's so many things that clutter up our schedules, and so many other priorities that begin to intersect our spiritual life. And before long, we have little or no time left for prayer. And Paul says this is an absolutely indispensable dimension of Christian living if you wish to conquer the influence of the evil one. Right in the heart of this narrative dealing with this tremendous conflict that we have with Satan, Paul says we must learn to pray. And he says, we need to learn to pray in a sixfold way, in this special characterization of prayer in verse 18. Number one, he says, I want you to learn how to pray constantly, praying always. I want you to pray constantly, praying always. Our tendency is to pray only in the great crises of life. Nobody prays more tenaciously than the man in the midst of crisis. Our tendency is to pray only in the midst of the great crises of life. But Paul says it is from consistent daily prayer that the Christian is enabled to find strength and even deliverance from many a crisis. We could avoid some of those crises if we prayed more. Great crises are often made up of multiples of miniature malfunctions. Did you follow me on that? Great crises are often made up of multiples of miniature malfunctions, and many of those miniature malfunctions could have been avoided by consistent prayer. Paul says, I want you to be praying always, pray constantly. Secondly, he says, I want you to pray comprehensively. Praying always with all prayer. And he means by that that there's more than one kind of praying. There are many facets or nuances of prayer that we need to integrate into our prayer life. Biblical prayer involves a whole host of things. It's not simply asking and receiving. There's a man who wrote a book, Asking and Receiving. That's the whole substance of prayer in his mind. Has some good points, but that's not all that there is to prayer. There's a great deal more to prayer than asking and receiving. Biblical prayer involves adoration. That's worship. When we get on our knees before God, we ought to worship Him. We had to attribute infinite worth to him. That's what it means to worship, worth-ship. We had to attribute infinite worth to God, and we had to do it daily on our knees. Adoration, prayer. And then there's not only adoration in prayer, there's benediction, that is praise. We had to praise God for what he's doing in our lives. And then there's supplication, that is request or petition. And then there's intercession, there's looking out for the other man, praying for him, doing for him perhaps what he cannot do for himself, interceding for him. And then there's appreciation, giving of thanks for all that God has brought down into our lives. Adoration, benediction, supplication, intercession, appreciation, praying with all prayer, the Apostle Paul says. To maintain our spiritual equilibrium, Paul says we must learn to integrate all of these facets of prayer into our prayer life. And it's to this kind of individual, and it's to this kind of spiritual sensitivity that God will respond warmly and powerfully so that we're enabled to conquer the influence of the evil one. And this special characterization of prayer, which animates the spiritual warrior in his spiritual warfare. Paul says, number one, we must pray constantly. Number two, we must pray comprehensively. Number three, we must pray spiritually. He says, I want you to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We must pray spiritually. In general, the Bible formula for prayer is this. We pray to the Father. This is in general. We pray to the Father through the Son, and in the Spirit. In the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God who inhabits us and who ministers to us, the Scripture says. It is the Spirit who illuminates the human mind to understand the will of God, and it is the Holy Spirit who then motivates the human will to claim that into existence by faith. You know, the general ministry of the Holy Spirit in prayer is a much neglected thing. I think it would be worthy of a series of messages. We're not going to touch on it much. The general ministry of the Holy Spirit in prayer is a much neglected thing. And yet we're taught in the Scriptures that our access to the Father, particularly in prayer, we're taught in the Scriptures that our access to the Father is not only through the Son, but also through the Spirit. You read it in Ephesians 2 and verse 18. We have access to the Father by one Spirit. Ephesians 2 and verse 18. The Holy Spirit's inspiration in prayer is as necessary as the Son's mediation if we're to gain access to the Father in prayer. Paul says, I want you to pray constantly, praying always. I want you to pray comprehensively with all prayer and supplication. And then I want you to pray spiritually in the Spirit. Do you know what it means? Do you really know what it means? Do I know what it means? God speaks to me. These messages are for me as well as for you. Do we know what it means to animate the whole of our life with biblical prayer?
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.